Yes, I would like to speak about the subject of spiritual circle today with you. On my journeys to within the Himalayas, and also journeys to frequent to spiritual places in India, I have always found out that if you go into a holy place, you are actually entering into a spiritual atmosphere. A little while ago, I was interviewed by the newspaper Times of India, and the question was, Swamiji, maybe I should, because you have your recording devices, I can sit a little down. Swamiji, why do we go to places of pilgrimage? Why do we go to holy places? What do we feel there? And I remembered Srila Rupa Goswami's work Mathura Mahatmya, where he tells us what is the benefit of going to a holy place. Srila Rupa Goswami describes there a little bit more clearer what is a spiritual atmosphere and why we feel that when we enter the spiritual atmosphere of the holy place, that we become moved and elevated. If you understand Rupa Goswami's description of what makes a holy atmosphere, it will be much easier for you in your own life to create a holy atmosphere in your surroundings. And I believe this is the real test of your spiritual life and of your yoga practice. Are you able to create a holy atmosphere inside of your own heart and outside in your environment, your living space? See, we do not feel that our retreat would be a full success if you only practice for 5, 7, or 6, or 7 days some yoga, and you stay in Goloka Dham for this amount of time, and then when you go to your respective places where you work and where you live, that then everything evaporates and goes away. No, we want to really present to you a way how to maintain the spiritual atmosphere and increase the spiritual atmosphere. Rupa Goswami describes that in a spiritual atmosphere, you contact two energies, and he even gives us the name of these energies. It's the Taraka Shakti and the Paraka Shakti. Taraka means that energy which liberates you from your worries, from your ordinary material thoughts. In fact, which liberates you also from your wrong habits. And Paraka Shakti is that energy which pulls you closer towards God, which brings you near to Lord Krishna. Now, if you study the whole spiritual process, the different sadhana exercises, you will quickly come to understand that as you practice sadhana, it is really only a means to feel these energies in your life. Nowadays, when I sign my letters to good friends, I always sign with "Stay connected." This is really what we do also in our spiritual practice. We want to stay connected
with the spiritual atmosphere of Krishna. And the immediate response of staying connected with Krishna, the source of all energies, is that we also feel liberated from our ordinary lives, Taraka Shakti, and we feel love coming up in our heart, love which pulls us away from our little false ego and connects us with Lord Shri Krishna, with God. My journeys through India, I've always noted when you come to such a holy place, you really enter another atmosphere. And from this realization, I have developed a practice which we call the spiritual circle. The spiritual circle is a practice which helps a person to create a spiritual atmosphere which maintains him and which also supports and energizes him. The spiritual circle appears for the first time in the Ramayana when Lakshman draws a circle around Mother Sita and tells her, as long as you stay within this spiritual circle, you will be protected and no one will be able to harm you. This spiritual circle has come to be known from that time as the Lakshman Rekha. Rekha meaning a circle, and Lakshman means the brother of Lord Balaram, of Ramachandra, or Lord Balaram, who gives us spiritual strength. The Lakshman Rekha is nothing else than a circle which gives you strength and which protects you when you need it. How can you make a Lakshman Rekha in your life? How can you draw such a circle around you in which you can feel the spiritual energy? This I will tell you in a moment. But since we have this wonderful device here, brought by Dharma Setu Prabhu with his own hands, I wish to write down Taraka Shakti Liberation Freedom and Paraka Shakti, which means the attraction power. This is what should be in your spiritual circle. Which is called the Lakshman Rekha. Huh? Krishna. Do you think this is valuable for your life? To have the connection with these energies? How romantic. Yes. Maybe we can, yes, somehow. Dharma Setu, you, yes, you are a genius. This is extremely genius. Like, thank you.
If you want to draw a spiritual circle around yourself, where these two energies will work, you have to know the art of making a contact with Krishna, with God, because all energy that is the spiritual energy, the energy of the living entities, and the material energy comes from the supreme powerhouse, from God. There is no other source of energy than God. Even Lucifer or Satan has his energy from God. Even Saturn, the planet who visits every one of us for 7.5 years and makes our life intolerable, has its energy from God. Even the jewel which you put on your hand to avoid the influence of bad qualities has its energy from God. Even the healing herb in Ayurveda has its energy from God. Even the sexual act, where a lot of energy is put forward, is coming from God. The source of all types of energies is the Lord. And therefore, in Bhakti Yoga, we try to link with the supreme powerhouse. Dharma Setu, I have now a very good suggestion. Yes. We should renounce this thing. because everyone will only look to the paper. What is the paper doing? Let us bring it back, and everyone will, who makes notes, will make it in his mind. Thank you. And come back, Dharma Setu, to give us pleasure in our heart. Yes?
I'll just lie down for now and then.
But the wind will come.
Oh, okay.
And the other side, yes, you can put it like Dandavat Asan. Very good. It's good enough, no? Thank you. The process of linking up or making a connection is called yoga. And if you wish to make the connection to the supreme powerhouse, you have to go through the yoga of love, because God only accepts love as a valuable connection with Him. The Bhakti Yoga is done in something which is called the Panchanga Bhakti Yoga. It's 5 activities which we do. I will just name them to you, but I will not explain them in detail, because I have included them in something which we call the 10 rules of spiritual life. And I will give you, we have written down, and I will give it out, or Sadanandi will give it out to you a little later. Maybe, Sadanandi, you can arrange for it now.
Yeah.
More like 10 copies, I think. 10, 15 copies.
10, 15. It's
in English, it's in German language, and maybe I can give it to you, Sarah, who is it? And you could translate it from German into English. Is that a problem?
Well, if someone double checks.
If someone double checks. Okay. We will give it out also in English language. Up to now, I have it only in the German language. What these processes are is they begin with sadhu sangha, or associating with spiritual minded people. You are already practicing now a process to connect with God, because when you meet
spiritual people, the result is that you get some spiritual inspiration, even if there is no verbal communication. It is described that if you meet a person who practices serious spiritual sadhana, you are immediately benefited on a spiritual level. That's why in India we hear of the philosophy of darshan. We go, and darshan does not mean that we look at someone. No. The personality of whom we take darshan looks at us. And that is already our benefit. Sadhu Sangha. Meet the saintly persons. Meet the saintly persons. Meet the saintly persons. Even a fraction of a second of association with them will give you the supreme benefit. What is that benefit? That you get an impetus, an enthusiasm. I will also go the spiritual path and be sincere. This is immediately an impetus which is generated. Then the second process is to listen to saintly scriptures, which gives us spiritual information, spiritual scriptures. It works on our information system. The third process is to chant mantras, sacred mantras, which glorify God. The fourth process is to worship the Lord in His forms as deities, or to worship Him just in the, for instance, by offering your food to Him. And the fifth process is to stay at a holy place. If we don't stay at a holy place with our physical body that we are residing, for instance, in Vrindavan or some holy places in the Himalayas, we remember these holy places. And by remembering them, we generate their presence in the form of smaranam, meditational image. Now, I want to tell you very honestly, when I do my sadhana, that means my spiritual practice, I first of all enter into some holy places and sit there. I know my trees there. They wait for me. They are always there. My shadow-giving trees. Some are smaller. Some are bigger than these, this tree. And then I go in my mind's eye underneath these holy trees or at holy places, because you need shade. And I meditate from this transcendental position. I do my sadhana from this transcendental position. These are, in short, five practices, but as I have said, I will not talk about them in great detail. They are called Panchanga Bhakti, the fivefold path of Bhakti. These practices will connect you with God. Once you are connected with God, you feel immediately these two energies working in your life. You feel liberated, and you feel attracted, pulled like a calf whose mother is maybe 10-15 meters next to her. The calf has to rise and walk towards the mother. It gets so much strength by just seeing the mother. And then it will get its milk. So this same strength will be given to you, that you can walk towards God. That is called the Paraka Shakti. You need strength for this. A newborn calf cannot walk so easily. It's a very shaky. But when the mother is there, she somehow manages to come, because the power of attraction pulls the calf towards the mother. And now these energies are given to you. It's almost like if you push your hand into a socket, eine elektrische Steckdose, sagt man, you will get the minus and plus energy. Yeah. So when you perform these Panchanga Bhakti processes, you will actually feel these spiritual energies and they will work on you. Without you, while you stay here, you will be able to contact these powerful processes and they will work on you, you will see. Now, I would like to now come to an interesting point. You will not forget this lesson. You will tell it most probably your children about it, because it will become now very, very intense. I would like to prove something to you. See, many, many people, and I believe also to some extent a good number of you, are thinking that spiritual life can be only properly performed when I have a mood like devotion or sincerity or great endeavor. But if I don't have the mood, then I cannot practice spiritual life. And this is what many people nowadays think, and they wait usually with their spiritual life when the mood comes, die innere Einstellung. Sometimes people tell me, now we are young, when we are old, then we will become serious. But now we have another mood, we want to live a material life. And very often people, you know, wait too long, and when they are old, they have so many diseases and they have to take care of the karmic effects of their indiscriminate enjoyment that they can't go to it. Now the spiritual philosophy says, yes, it is important. Sadhana, no, because everyone will start looking at them and not listen any longer. This is human psychology. We will give it in the end. I have been giving millions of seminars and I know how my people are. Yes, it is true, you have to be sincere, you have to be eager, it's good to be devotional. But you don't have to wait until these moods descend from the sky. You can practice with spiritual practices, and while you practice, these very, very beneficial moods will come to you. In other words, it works also the other way. One way, which we all know, is that I express what is in my heart. I'm a good devotee or a good spiritualist if I have a eager, humble, sincere mood. Then my life will be manifesting these qualities. But it also works in a different way. You can have a practice, and by this practice, it's called a sadhana, you will be able to relish these very nice character transformations in your heart. And then when you have transformed your character, your practices comes on a different level, then the practices again move back towards your character, which then rises to a different level. And in this way, it goes higher and higher and higher. Please, do not wait until you are in a good mood to start your spiritual life. Start it now and you will come into a good mood. So since I like to prove these statements, I want to go with you through a session of Hasya Yoga or Laughter Yoga. But this will be totally different than you think it. It will be so scientific that you might not even feel like laughing. No.
Why have we stopped laughing? Laughing is the... There are two gifts which the Lord has given the human being. One is the holy name, and one is, and the other is laughter. Laughter is such a powerful medicine that anyone who laughs frequently does not even need to perform yoga exercises to stay healthy, because the laughter itself is the most powerful thing to rejuvenate your whole being. What happens when we laugh is that our muscles begin to pump, our organs are massaged, and more important, a subtle hormone called serotonin in German language, and I formed by my Radhadish audience, it's in similar in English, serotonin, thank you very much, it becomes released, and it is really the best medicine, but you can't take it by pills, it has to come through laughter. And it puts your whole energy, your whole outlook to your life. It shakes your subtle body. It takes all the dusty impressions, the bad sanskaras out of you. And it is extremely good. Babies laugh a few hundred times a day, and grown-ups, if they are lucky, laugh a few times, maybe two or three times a day. When they come from Croatia, they laugh more. Or if they are Anandini, they laugh even more than the usual Croatian. Laughter is very good. Now this was found out by doctors who developed laugh therapies, which are now all over the world. And the most, successful spreader of laugh theory, and the guru of this is one person who wanted to see me in Bombay last time I was there, and we had arranged a meeting, but then his brother died, so he sent me his first assistant who taught me the art of laughter, and I want to give this now to you as my present, not out of context. The reason why I wish to show it is that I will laugh with you now according to a very scientific process, and I will request you to tell me how you feel afterwards. Mm-hmm. First of all, there is one German psychologist called Dr. Michael Tietze. He said that in the years 1950s, people used to laugh 18 minutes a day. But today we don't laugh more than 3 minutes a day, if we are lucky. Kids do better. They laugh up to 400 times a day. And that's why they are so energetic. Due to being under so many pressures of modern life, our sense of humor has been successfully killed. And we are also not daring any longer to laugh. And we always hear criticism when we laugh. What's so funny? Learn to be serious. Have you gone mad? Stop it. And in this way, our sense of humor doesn't flow any longer. Now, the doctors found out that in order to laugh, you don't need
to laugh about something. Then even if you laugh without a reason, the same biological benefit is there, and afterwards you start to laugh. There is a yoga practice called Hasya Rasa, where a lot of Kapalabhati is done, the exercise which makes your skull shine. And I would like to lead you through a few exercises which will make you laugh. It's very important that the only qualification which you have to have, Rasamurti, is a willingness to laugh. Even there should no need that there is a reason. Thank you very, very much for going with me through this. Now, I acknowledge that it's not everyone's cup of tea, so to say. But please let us go back to the point from where we started. Why did we do this exercise? We did it in order to show that laughter, even without humor, is very helpful. One feels very relaxed and relieved. It's very good for the mind. It energizes our psychology. Even without a reason. This is the whole point, without a reason. Of course, I wanted to help all of you by asking our Breitko and Golda Hari to come, and Anandini is a little shy, but she also was very helpful. Thank you. Because I think you can feel it. So I want to end this class now by pointing your attention to something which we have called the 10 golden rules. I would like to ask our Sadanandi to distribute the copies now to all of you. I feel a little bit insufficient that our English guests, you will get a translation. Sprich dir ein bisschen Deutsch? You understand a little German? Not even a little. It's not an important language also. It is really... I would really request your kind help in this. As you know, we are planning some nice things with the Ven Academy, and Gadatta requested me to put these 10 golden rules together, and I tried my best, but maybe there are others which are more important. So if you have a feedback to me that you want other rules to come down on this sheet of paper, please do tell me. I'm extremely happy if I can do this very nice. This is what I came up with. If you want to take this home, and it's a present, and if you need more, you can ask Sadanandi. She will give you. The first is erhebe deinen Geist durch Meditation, indem du ihn mit dem göttlichen Namen durchdringst. Mantra-Meditation. Uplift your mind through meditation by penetrating the mind with the sound of the holy name. The second rule, I think this is clear. If you every day just make it a point to go into this mantra meditation, and make it a point that the mantra reaches your mind and not just the tongue. The mantra must be not lip deep, but heart deep. That's so important. When the mantra is not heart deep, it does not do its work. The second is, löse die Illusion des Egos auf, indem du täglich 3 Regeln einhältst. Sei bescheiden und spiele dich nicht auf. sei duldsam, gerade auch gegenüber Verletzungen. Also damit meine ich so innere Verletzungen, nicht innere Verletzungen, also so, wie sagt man das im besseren Deutsch, Verletzungen. Seele, emotionale Verletzungen, ja. Und C, gebe anderen gebührlich Respekt, ohne Achtung zurückzuerwarten. This is about the ego, which is the great killer in spiritual life. Das dritte ist, pflege gute Gemeinschaft, in der du auch lernen kannst und in der du einen Spiegel vorgehalten bekommst. That is, go into good association where you can learn something sometimes, which acts also like a mirror. Then the fourth rule is that the mind should be connected with God by reading saintly scriptures. Die fünfte Regel, fünfte, sechste und siebste Regel ist etwas, was something what I have taken out of the holy scriptures. It is that every day one can meditate, start his day by meditating about the fact that I am eternal. When you go and brush your teeth, or are under the shower, or get ready for your services, you can just meditate for a while. I'm an eternal soul. Ich bin eine ewige Seele. Das ist sehr powerful. Zweitens, beobachte dich und deine Gedanken, so wie du einen Schauspieler auf der Bühne zusiehst. Und gebe dir dann aus der soeben gewonnenen Distanz, liebevolle Tipp, mach das besser, mach es so besser. I would like to show you what I mean with this. This is what many people have said is the gift of the spiritual philosophy of the East to us. We take a Sakshi consciousness, the consciousness of a witness, an observer, which is not at all involved. Let me give you an example of this. I will now observe myself. Oh, Satchinandan Swami, I see that you are trying to help your audience to get into some nice spiritual thoughts today. But please also watch the time, because yesterday you went over time, and you have a habit of going over time. So I have observed myself from outside, I have found something, it comes immediately, you know, and I have given me a loving tip. Was ist denn die Zeitsituation, nebenbei gesagt? What